Marcus Luttrell is a Navy SEAL. In 2005, he survived a firefight in Afghanistan that took three of his fellow soldiers. He had a broken back, yet he crawled for 7 miles, had bullet wounds. He was finally rescued by a local villager. It's one of the most heroic stories in modern military history. But what caught my attention about Marcus's story was what he said later. He said, "I thought the hardest fight was going to be out on the battlefield, but it was actually the fight for my mind after I came home." As you can imagine, survivor's guilt, convincing him that he should have died with his brothers. PTSD, time and time making him feel like he was still under attack. Bitterness, anger, nearly destroyed his marriage. Marcus was a trained warrior. He was trained to survive the harshest conditions. He was trained to take down the enemies. He was trained to endure pain that you and I couldn't even begin to imagine. And yet, he learned this, that the fight, the greatest fight, isn't out there. It's in here. This is why I'm so excited about talking about this today. What we're talking about today is so fundamental and so important. We need to learn that the greatest battle is in here. Here's what we're talking about today. Fighting for the heart. Somebody say, fighting for the heart. Everything begins with the heart. Marcus's story reminds us that if we don't know how to fight for our heart, then we can survive everything that is out there and still lose everything that matters. Some of you, you know the truth of this because you feel it in your life right now. At work, you're successful, but at home, you feel empty. Maybe in public, you feel confident and you got a great smile, but when no one's around in private, you just feel anxious all the time. You're surviving on the outside, but you're struggling on the inside. Today, my hope is that when we leave here, we will have heard and put into practice some words of wisdom. The words of wisdom come from Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, second only to Jesus, and he wrote this. Proverbs 4. He said, "Above all else," will you say this with me? "Guard your heart, for everything else you do flows from it." Guard your heart above all else, above your schedule, above your image, above your reputation, above all else, guard your heart. Why? Because everything else in your life, it flows from it. There's a story, an illustration that I think illustrates this so well. It's a story about a mountain village high in the Alps that straddles a mountain stream. And the stream, it's fed by springs that were said to be older than the earth and deeper than the sea. The water that it produced was crystal clear. The children in the village, they loved to play at the water's edge. They loved the crisp mountain scent. Swans swam on it. The trout teemed within it. The village flourished because of it. But even higher in the mountains lived an old man, a servant, a keeper of the stream. He had been hired so many years ago by the town to keep the source clean that nobody even remembered that he was there. High beyond their sight, he would go to work every day. He would clean the mud and the silt and the branches and the leaves and all the debris. Until one day, the town council convened, and they decided that they had more important things to do. They had roads to build, houses to build, taxes to collect. They could no longer have the luxury of a keeper of the stream, and so they let him go. And nothing changed. Well, nothing changed right away. Over time, the stream began to become brackish, dark, and contaminated. The children no longer wanted to play by the stream because they didn't like the smell. The swans, the trout, they were gone. People started getting sick. And that's when the town council reconvened. And it dawned on them that their problem was not in the village, but the problem was at the source. Well, they went back to the keeper of the stream and they begged him to come back and to take his old post, and he did. He got right to work, taking the trees, the branches, the mud, the silt, the debris out of the source. And it didn't happen instantly, but over time, that stream began to clear up. And the children, well, they returned. Swans, the trout, the health returned. Joy returned. Life and laughter returned to the village. See, the life of the village was dependent upon the stream. But the stream was dependent upon the keeper. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because your heart is the stream. And you are the keeper. Put another way, maybe we'd say it like this. If the source is clear, life downstream is healthy. If the source is polluted, then everything downstream suffers. Now, we know this. This is why this is so important. Because remember what Solomon said, everything flows from it. Your life flows from your heart. Your marriage, it flows from your heart. Your parenting, you want to be good parents. You want to take care of your children. You want them to be strong and healthy. Well, it starts right here in your heart. Your integrity at work, business leaders, it starts with your heart, your peace. And even in the midst of suffering, your peace, it flows from your heart. What did Solomon say? He said, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. We get the symbolism. We get the importance. I mean, it's everywhere. We use this language all the time. In fact, I mean, if we were to start saying the Pledge of Allegiance, or you were to hear the national anthem begin to play, what would we do? We'd place our hand over our heart. There's something in us that knows that this is the command center of our life. This is where it starts. I mean, physically speaking, we take good care, or we try to take good care of our heart. Why? Because physically speaking, we know if the heart stops, nothing else matters. Everything else stops. Spiritually speaking, the same is true. If the heart isn't healthy, I mean, maybe there are other organs in the body. We can take them or leave them, but not the heart. The heart is of such importance that we have to pay attention. We have to nurture it. We have to guard it. Jesus himself placed a lot of emphasis on the heart, especially when he was asked this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. Will you say it with me? With all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Jesus himself, he listed the heart first. He knew how important it was. He knew that all the blessings in life, the ones that you and I so desperately want and need, begin with a healthy heart. Okay, this is just a sampling. This is all over your Bible, but here's a few examples of the importance of the heart. Say this with me. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Here's another proverb. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. And then these are the words of Jesus. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water, say it with me, will flow from his heart. From whose heart? From the believer's heart. And then finally, we see this. This is probably the greatest blessing of all. Say this with me. Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Over and over and over again, God's holy word continues to bring us back to the heart, because God knows something that we sometimes forget. He says it pretty clearly in 1 Samuel. He says, people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And the thing you need to know is that Scripture doesn't just place an importance on the heart. It says something else. It lets us know that the heart is sick. The Bible calls that sickness sin. But the heart is sick. Jeremiah said it this way. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? These are the words of Jesus. Out of your heart come evil thoughts, vulgar deeds, stealing, murder, unfaithfulness in marriage, greed, meanness, deceit, indecency, envy, insults, pride, and foolishness. All these come from your heart, and they are what make you unfit to worship God. Such sobering words. And here's the stern warning we find in Luke. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware. What day is that? That is the day of Christ's return. When he returns, and friends, do you know he is coming back? We don't know when, but we know he is coming back. And on that day, you don't want to be caught unaware. So Luke, once again, he addresses the heart. Now, this is something that your enemy knows full well. He is very aware of the sickness and the sin that we carry in the heart that can lead us to that long list that we just read. And he is more than happy to take advantage of an unguarded heart. In 1775, there was a British fort that overlooked Lake Champlain in upstate New York. The fort had these thick walls and this huge, massive gate. It was said to be impossible to capture, had like 100 cannons defending it. Well, there were some American revolutionaries that found a vulnerability. They waited until 3 a.m. in the morning, and they silently walked up a hill behind the fort, and they found a side entrance that had been left unlocked. You can look this up. May 10th, 1775, they walk right in. There is not a shot fired. There was a minor scratch. I think that was documented. But there was no battle. They just walked right in. Here's the point. The strongest walls in the world don't matter if you don't guard the entrance. The strongest walls in the world do not matter if you don't guard the entrance. Here's what this looks like in real life. Your enemy, he rarely tries to knock down the front door of your life. Now, I would advise you to have boundaries in your life, people around you, the things that we know that can keep our life healthy, that's important. But rarely does he just come in for a head-on attack. No, he's not going to attack the walls. He's going to whisper through an unguarded heart. That's what he loves to do. He knows that your walls, they're too thick. You're too smart for a head-on attack. And so he's going to whisper through an unguarded heart. He's not going to just come to you one day and say, hey, I think today is a great day to commit tax fraud. He's not going to come to you and say, you know what? Why don't we just begin neglecting the family? Why don't we just reject? He's not going to lead with, let's just reject faith altogether. Let's just reject God altogether. Let's just engage in sex out of marriage. What do you say today we just begin an addiction? Wouldn't that be fun? Drugs, alcohol, pornography, gambling, just nobody. We're too smart for that, and he knows that. Instead, he's going to whisper through an unguarded heart things like, just hide that habit. It's best if no one knows. And just hold on to that resentment. After all, they don't deserve your forgiveness, and you might need it later. No one's going to love you if they really know you. And over time, as he whispers through an unguarded heart, we begin to think, this isn't going to cost me that much, until we wake up one day and we realize that it's cost us more than we could ever imagine. And that's the way he likes to work. The strongest walls in the world don't matter if we don't guard the heart. Scripture is very clear that we have an issue with the heart, that it is filled with sin. The Bible calls it sin, beyond repair within our own ability to repair it. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. In Ezekiel 36, God says this. Will you say this with me? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. This is a promise from God to you. Not some of you, all of you. This is his promise. He didn't say, I'm going to give you an improved heart. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a patched up heart. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And on top of that, I'm going to put a new spirit. Now, we know this is the Holy Spirit within you. This is the power of the cross. That when Jesus hung there, he took on our sin into his heart. And in exchange, he gave us his righteous heart. Sin for righteousness. When Jesus gives a new heart, things begin to change. Now, you will not be perfect. We will never be perfect this side of heaven. You will not be sinless, but you will find yourself sinning less. Because when Jesus gives a new heart, things begin to change. You will begin to feel conviction where maybe even days earlier you felt nothing. Have you ever been there in your life? There's just like something that you know you should feel some level of guilt, and yet it's numb. There's just nothing there. But with a new heart and a new spirit, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you begin to feel conviction. And it doesn't feel good, but man, you're grateful for it. He's your helper. He loves you. You will begin to desire the things of God. Maybe better said, you will begin to desire God himself. Where maybe even weeks earlier, you just kind of let the world fill your mind with whatever the world wanted to give you. If it was there, you just took it in. But your appetite, it begins to change. You're no longer just surviving on the outside, but you're thriving on the inside. This is the promise of God, a new heart and a new spirit. And some of you even feel that right now because there's a tug on your heart that this is for you. This is what God wants for you. Can I just say, if that's what you're sensing, that is God speaking to you. And the only wrong response to God is to just ignore him and shut him out. If he's speaking to you, what a grace and what a kindness. He's drawing you to himself. He's fighting for you. And we've been talking today about fighting for the heart, but can I tell you the truth? God in Scripture has promised to fight for you. Jesus is fighting for you, and he's inviting you to fight with him. He is fighting for you, and can I tell you, he has never lost a battle. He's undefeated. He's never seen a battle that he's lost. Every single one of them, he's undefeated, and he is fighting for you. Will you let him fight for you, and will you join him in the fight? Let him give you his strength, his heart. And quit trying to fix everything downstream. Behavior modification, it does not work for a reason. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't modify our behavior. But I'm just saying it starts at the source. It starts at the heart. So if that's you today, if you're in that place and you're ready to say, Jesus, save me. I need what only you can give. I need a new heart. Or you're here and you're ready to say, Jesus, I'm coming back to you. The way I've been doing life, it's not working. Spent a lot of time downstream. I need to go back to the source. Save me. I'm coming back to you. And then third, maybe today's the day for you to say, Jesus, I want to publicly declare my faith in baptism. What a beautiful gift God has given us in baptism. I mean, you think about it. You go down into the water. What are you symbolizing? You're symbolizing participating in the death of Jesus. But Jesus didn't stay in the tomb on the third day. He rose up. So you're not just participating in his death. You're participating in his victory, in his resurrection. You're saying, you're proclaiming to the world, Jesus has given me a new heart, and I want the whole world to know it. What a gift he's given us. Now, I want you to know that the water does not save us. Only Jesus does. But it is a public devotion, demonstration, declaration of what God has already done. Maybe this will help somebody today. You don't get baptized once you've cleaned your heart up. It's a common misconception that I kind of need to get some ducks in a row. I kind of need to get some things together so that I can take that next step, so I can present myself to God. That's not the way it works. You cannot find that in Scripture. It's not that you cleaned your heart up. You get baptized because Jesus has already given you a new one, a new heart. What a grace. What a gift. If Jesus has given you a new heart, can you give him some praise right now? We're not perfect. We are so imperfect, but we're following a perfect King. So here's what we're going to do. How do we invite Jesus to fight for our heart? Well, it begins with hearing. Romans 10 tells us that faith comes through hearing, and hearing comes through the Word of God. And maybe you've been reading your Bible, you've been hearing from God, and you've not only heard, but you believe. You believe that what he has said is true. You believe that who Jesus claimed to be is exactly who he was. The risen Christ over all the universe. All authority has been given to him. If you believe that, then you are ready to take that next step, repenting of that old life. I know, and maybe you've heard that so many times before, but there was power in that next move. What is repentance? Repentance is turning. It's saying, I'm leaving that old life behind because I need what only Jesus can give. I need that new heart, and it's turning, and it's living a life in his strength. It's saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need your salvation. Not just to save me from my sin, but to save me for this life and this purpose that you created me for. All of it. If you're ready for that, we're going to pray together. We're going to talk to Jesus. I would encourage you to talk to a trusted friend. In fact, today, what I'd like to do is we're going to pray together. And then if you're saying, Jesus, save me, Jesus, I'm returning to you, or I want to proclaim baptism, then I want to invite you after we pray to go to the foot of the cross. We have a team that's there just to congratulate you. By the way, you might be in a place where you just have questions. I want to invite you to come too. But after we pray this prayer, I'm going to invite anybody who's making that decision to stand. We are going to celebrate what God is doing in you. We believe that what God is doing in you, it is not natural, it is supernatural. God is doing a miracle in you. And he wants to do a miracle through you. So we're going to pray. You can repeat after me. And Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.